Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. There was a collaborative marketing initiative launched in 2022 with the goal of promoting the city's performing arts scene. That initiative is called the Milwaukee Theater District. Our nonprofit guest today participates in the Milwaukee Theater District's joint campaigns, like Milwaukee Theater Week, to boost awareness and attendance for all members. They're also part of a larger ecosystem and recognized alongside major venues and groups showcasing their importance in Milwaukee's vibrant arts community. Welcome to the show today, Brent Hazelton, Executive Artistic Director of the Milwaukee Chamber Theater, whose mission is to produce high-quality professional theatrical works of literary merit that engage and challenge the audience while employing and nurturing local theater artists. Thanks for being here today, Brent.
Thank you for having me, Jill. Very much appreciate it.
You are certainly welcome. So the Milwaukee Chamber Theater is definitely in good company. Tell us more about it, how you differ from some of the other performing arts venues, and why did you choose to be a part of their mission?
Sure. Milwaukee Chamber Theater is a 51-year-old producing theater, one of the longer tenured arts groups in the city. As a producing theater, that means that we create our own work. We're not bringing shows in from other places. For example, the Marcus Center's Broadway Across America series, where they are bringing in tours of Broadway productions. Everything that we produce is created in-house using local artists. 95% of the artists that we use are from Milwaukee or Wisconsin. Our focus is heavily local. That's a real point of pride for us, as well as a differentiator and something that is very, very core to our mission. We produce in the Broadway Theater Center in the Third Ward, fortunate enough to share that space with Skylight Music Theater, as well as a couple of other companies that come in. That facility opened in 1993. It was created for Skylight Music Theater, Milwaukee Chamber Theater, and Theater X, which unfortunately no longer exists. So we have been resident in that very vibrant arts and culture neighborhood for 30-some years.
Wow.
After producing itinerantly for the first 20. When the company first started, the founders, Montgomery Davis and Ruth Shudson, referred to the company as a movable feast. The first performances were in people's living rooms. There was some early touring around the Midwest, performed in university, college theaters, performed in other professional venues in town. And then we're fortunate enough to find a home of our own in 1993.
So you've got many years in the A&E space, right? Arts and entertainment. Why did you choose to be a part of the Milwaukee Chamber Theater's mission?
I was fortunate enough to spend my first 20 years at Milwaukee Rep. I came in as an acting intern right out of undergrad in 1999 and worked my way up. Spent the last 10 years as associate artistic director and director of new play development, and it became time to explore the next phase of my career, right? What would it mean to be the leader of an organization? And had the good fortune to have the Milwaukee Chamber Theater job open up right about the time I was, felt like I was ready to take that next step. I succeeded Michael Wright, who was the artistic director of the company for 15 years before me. Prior to that, Montgomery Davis was the founding artistic director, so it has had a long tenure of of leadership stability. I'm entering my seventh season there now, so I am halfway to what Michael accomplished and feels like a long time. I came in 2019 in what was supposed to be a part-time transition year. As Michael was cycling out, I was going to cycle in. And then we had the COVID-19 pandemic, which disrupted operations just a little bit. So my first full season was during that pandemic year. We innovated significantly, pivoted to virtual very, very quickly. We did, I think, the second virtual gala in the state in April of 2020.
Wow.
And then set to work creating a fully virtual season after that. So delivered about 160 hours of virtual content over the 2021 season, secured a significant income for our local artists. Again, that's a huge part of our mission, supporting and developing our local artist community. And one thing I was particularly proud of in that environment is the number of health insurance weeks we're able to get for our artists, because they don't receive health insurance unless they're working. Mm. And a global pandemic is a great time to have health insurance. So it was really important to us to look out for our local community that way. And of all of the union contracts that we issued that season, was something like 3 or 4% of all the union contracts issued nationally during that period. Our normal ratio is probably something like 0.1%. So relative to what was happening in the rest of the country at the time, we're making a significant contribution to the health of our local artistic community, which is, again, something we take a tremendous amount of pride in and really, really center our mission on.
Yeah. And I just know there are so many nonprofits that struggled big time during that, the COVID years. And we hear, you know, we're trying to do business as usual. And for the Milwaukee's philanthropic community, it's like, how do we do this now? There weren't many people that wanted to come in and do in-person interviews. And so we too had to pivot and say, okay, I never even heard of this thing called Zoom. It was like, how are we going to do this now? So that the fact that you were able to do virtual performances is really wonderful, and continue on with your season. You mentioned that you use local artists. Why the focus on that? And is that limiting in any way from a programming perspective?
Sure. Certainly, you don't have the entire artistic population of the country available to you. So definitely have to plan carefully and pick and choose around the strengths of the local pool. But for us, the work that we do is very much centered on community. And I think anytime we are sitting together in a theater, we are listening to the answer to a question. The question being, is the way we're living today the way we want to live tomorrow? And if not, what are we going to do about it? That question is asked, I think, much more urgently, much more empathetically, with much more nuance when it's asked by people who are deeply invested in that community, people whose children go to school there, people who own homes there, people who've grown up there, people who've spent their entire lives there. Artists are the what-if engine of a community. And it is certainly easy for people from outside a community to enter into a community and say, oh, what if? But again, I think the question is just asked with so much more immediacy. And the question can much more easily become an ongoing conversation when the people asking that question are very, very invested in the local outcome. We are wealthy in this community in excellent arts organizations that have been here for a very, very long time. And each of us is pursuing our mission in a very, very different way, which makes our overall community incredibly rich and incredibly diverse and incredibly differentiated between organizations. Certainly, there are many, many other companies that support our local artistic ecosystem as well. We can't do that by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're too small. We don't offer enough contracts a year for people to make their lives around, right? But as part of a local ecosystem, we are able to create ongoing lives and homes for people so that they can apply their crafts here. They can improve their crafts here. They can be part of a community here. We also work a lot with community partner organizations. So our core competency as theater makers is getting people to sit in dark rooms together and hear stories. Our core competency is not then taking the energy that that generates and giving it a focus out in the community. That's where our community partner organizations come into play.
Okay.
So when people join us in the theater and hear a story, if they are compelled to a next step after that story, we're then able to direct them to organizations that are community focused as we are, but operating in entirely different sectors with an aim of shared with us, bringing our community closer together in some way. It's a huge mission point for us. We'd love Milwaukee to be as strong and connected as possible, to be its best self for as many people who call it home. Our contribution for that is by gathering intercultural and intergenerational groups of humans in the same room. You walk into a space and you say, oh, I don't think I have anything to do with that person over there. You spend a couple hours listening to the same story, and what you hear invariably is that that person that you think you have nothing in common with is reacting exactly the same way that you are. Mm-hmm. That is connecting you more closely to your community, and I think that is a measure of of learning, that's a measure of change, that's a measure of connection that you carry with you outside of the theater into the community.
Wow, I think that's fantastic. I love the impact piece. I mean, your goal is that outside of the theater, they listen, they watch, they hear, and then hopefully they make some kind of impact in some way outside of the theater, which is wonderful. I get asked from time to time here at Ellenbecker, who's your ideal client? And my answer to that is, although we serve everyone, there are some that they just align really well with our core values. Who would you say is the ideal or the right audience for Milwaukee Chamber Theater?
For Milwaukee Chamber Theater, our ideal audience is anyone who wishes to engage with their community in some way. When we talk about the experience that we are offering to people, we don't usually talk about it through the lens of theater. We talk about it through the lens of a Milwaukee experience. You're seeing local artists on stage. Sometimes it's a story that is very hyper-local. Other times it is a classic play that we are reinventing through a Milwaukee lens or through our own particular Milwaukee theatrical style or acumen. But intercultural and intergenerational is hugely important to us. No community connection comes unless that is happening. But anyone of any age, any background, any specific interest who wishes to engage with their community in some way, who wishes to feel more connected to it, who wishes to feel that they are drawing closer to it by in some way actively participating in its cultural life, that's our audience. And that is a wonderfully wide and diverse sampling of human beings that we're trying to engage and we're trying to bring into our theatrical conversation.
Well, I would say that we have some very similar core values and missions that align. The things that you're talking about, I could say the same for Milwaukee's philanthropic community. We want somebody who is engaged, someone who wants to make a difference in the community, someone who wants to have a voice out there and do something about whatever it is we're talking about. And so we share some common themes there. We're going to take a quick commercial break right now, but when we return, Brent will share a new and exciting initiative they're working on. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit ellenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at EIG, and Brent Hazelton, the Executive Artistic Director from the Milwaukee Chamber Theater, is joining me in the studio today. So, Brent, you have something new and exciting that you're working on right now. Tell us what that is.
We do. Thank you for asking. Our focus is connecting communities. How do we bring Milwaukee closer together? One of the ways we do that is by inviting people into a theater space, sending them back out into the community. One of the other ways that we are trying now to do that is by bringing work to people. There are so many barriers to accessing theater. You have to be at a certain place at a certain time on a certain day for a certain amount of dollars. There is something delightfully analog about that notion, I think, about, you know, having to, what we call appointment television, we call it. We are also an appointment art form, right? But that appointment doesn't always work for everybody because you may not be able to access the physical space for whatever reason. Perhaps you live too far away. Maybe you don't have transport there. Maybe you don't have anybody to look after your kids. So our goal, in addition to continuing to bring people to our space in the Third Ward, is also to take the work to people, to move things around the community. We produced a play last season called Every Brilliant Thing, which is billed as the funniest play about depression and suicide you'll ever see, which is quite true. It is a very warm-hearted, very participatory solo performer show about mental health. The conceit at the center of it is that none of us get through this life alone. We all have days where we feel certainly much stronger or much weaker or much more equipped to take on the world, or days where we just can't, right? And in those spaces, need to lean into those around us, need to lean into our support networks and understand that everybody has felt that in one way or another. But there's so much stigma around that that we don't do that, right? So this show is all about unlocking that and accessing that and saying, you know what, in this sort of 65-minute, very warm-hearted story, it's okay, right? Everybody has these things, regardless of your background, regardless of your culture, regardless of where you live. This is a universal human experience. So we are working to take that show into the community, into schools, into group living centers like senior homes. We are looking to partner with local mental and behavioral health care providers, everything, you know, from very traditional clinical spaces to more community rooted spaces, in order to allow people to come into this conversation. This is the first of this initiative. We're hoping to add one production to this rotation every year so that we have a very solid menu of things to offer. In addition to those venues also, you know, there are so many local, small local performing arts centers throughout the city, throughout the county, throughout the state, right, who are always looking for products to share with their audiences. So to be able to offer a menu of that service in that way is something that we're launching this season, again, as part of that mission to connect communities more closely together.
I love that idea, especially in the schools, you know, to get the kids that are really struggling. Well, for anybody.
For
really,
anybody,
but,
yeah.
But, I mean,
but
just,
particularly on the school level, yeah, where arts funding continues to be diminished and reduced, right? To be able to offer something at a very, very low cost, mm-hmm, to bring them in, right? We're fortunate enough to get a grant from the Kubli Foundation to help us launch this, which is going to allow us to pay for a half dozen performances in schools who may not otherwise be able to afford bringing the show in.
It's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. It all sounds very exciting. Tell us a little bit about the infrastructure, though, that supports that.
Sure. It's part of our regular producing organization. So we're not a large company. We have 5 full-time staff, 1 part-time right now, and create a 5-show season from that core administrative infrastructure. So in order to take work into the community, right, we need someone who's actually going to take the work out. You have to have a stage manager who travels with it, right? We need someone to book those performances. It's basically setting up an entirely separate producing arm inside an organization that is already sort of functioning at maximum capacity, which is why grant support from other organizations helps so much. This is also not a huge moneymaker, but intended to be a new revenue stream for us as well, as
right,
we are a little landlocked calendar-wise in the facility we're in. How do we generate more revenue? But also, again, going back to our support of local artists, how do we continue to find new ways to create more income, more health insurance weeks, more time in community with our local artists? And this is something that I hope is going to continue to allow us to do that and be scalable and expand footprint as we go.
Right. And I just love that you're addressing a need. Certainly, that's a global thing. I think mental health is something that a lot of people are talking a lot more about. But to say, okay, we see that there's a need there. How can we as artists address that need and provide some kind of solution to a wide array of audiences, which is wonderful. So if a school, let's say, is listening, or a corporation, I imagine, you know, there are a lot more corporations that are doing lunch and learns about specific topics. As you said, there are so many organizations, mental health facilities, the aging population, so many places you can plug in for this new initiative, which is wonderful. If you are hearing about this and you want to know more, or somebody's listening and they love A&E and they want to invest somehow, tell us your take or your thoughts on why invest in MCT, either in time, treasure, advocacy, or all of those.
Sure. Impact. You know, we are a...
In a word.
Yes, to sum it all up, impact. But no, we are a small organization. Our annual operating budget is just over $1 million a year. I think this year we're going to be 1.08. So it does not take much. Either time, treasure, or advocacy, all three is beautiful, to move our institutional needle. You know, when we consider arts philanthropy, sometimes we look at the real artistic palaces of our community, and we see people's names on theaters or people's names on museum wings and think, oh, I'll never be able to access or engage that way. There are economies of scale for everything, including arts philanthropy. You know, our lowest production sponsorship level begins at $2,500, right? A $5,000, $10,000 gift. Those are significant for us economically. They really do move our needle. Bringing a group to a show, even a half house buyout, right? Mm-hmm. Our main theater is 95 seats. So, you know, bring 40 coworkers to a show, that significantly moves our needle, right? So it does not take much to allow us to engage in more mission, to allow us to fulfill more mission. We also measure impact in scope of reach in the community, right? We were talking a little bit over the break about partnerships and how crucial partnerships are, and how in nonprofits in general, it is very easy to, without even knowing it, begin operating from a scarcity mindset as opposed to a mindset of abundance. And you become so insular, particularly in communities like Milwaukee, where there is a perception of heavy competition for the same revenue streams. There are, in so many cases and situations, half a dozen nonprofits in the city doing significant work in the same sector. Often they don't even know that the other exists. So one of the things that we can do is center a conversation on a theme. So say, for example, there are a half dozen nonprofits who know, well, in the next 3 years out, we want to have a serious conversation in the city about food scarcity, about food deserts. Well, 3 years from out, we can develop a play about that. We can tell a story about what that means for our community. And that story can be the center of a larger conversation that creates awareness, creates attention, creates an empathetic response to that situation that our partner organizations are trying to solve through their own mission lenses. Conversely, while they're trying to solve that through their own mission lenses, they are reflecting back on the production that we're staging because they want more people to access the conversation that way as sort of the, again, the empathetic center of that conversation. And that's anybody. That's nonprofits, that's for-profits, that's arts organizations, that's hard business organizations. Anyone who is in community trying to work together to bring this community closer together, to make Milwaukee its best self for everybody who calls it home, those are the people that we would love to be in partnership with as our community impact partners, which is a different way of investing in an organization, right? That sort of partnership is also a huge, huge value add for us, but hopefully value add for our partners as well.
Okay. And what is the best way for people to do that? Let's say they, do they call you? Do they get online? Do they, outside of obviously buying the tickets to the shows, what's the best way for people to engage?
Sure. Start by sending me an email.
Okay.
Brent@MilwaukeeChamberTheater.org. Theater, T-R-E, not T-E-R.
Okay.
But just reach out. We'll start a conversation there and see where things can go. It's the other beauty about running a small arts organization is you can be nimble to respond to whatever the day presents you with. We're definitely trying to be in a place where we are planning more intentionally further down the road,
okay,
where we are looking at sort of 2 years, 3 years, 6 years in terms of what projects we're going to be producing so that, again, we can begin to build these community conversations around them.
And what if somebody out there is saying, I think I would love to see some type of production around this topic? Can they reach out for you
email too? Yeah.
Okay.
We have all sorts of those conversations.
Okay, good.
And it's really, those are, for me right now, those are the most inspiring leadership conversations at the community level. It's people who are saying, my organization is trying to have a conversation about this. We're having a hard time generating critical mass around it. How do we get some attention going, right? One of the best ways to do that is through storytelling, through the arts, through live storytelling, whether it's theater, whether it's music, whether it's dance, whatever. You know, there is a natural connector that allows people to engage with complex ideas in a easy way in an art space that does not always happen in other spaces, in a lecture space, in a, you know, a hard business space.
Right.
Those things are sometimes very, very difficult to engage with, where if we're coming at it somewhat sideways, right, is a good way to get people even to recognize that there is there is a need. There is something to be addressed. You know, I'm seeing my community in a new light now, and I want to do something about that, right? That's where we can provide service to those larger conversations.
Okay. Well, I love all the things we've been talking about. Never enough time to talk about everything we'd like to, but at least we're planting some seeds, letting our audience think about the things that you've been talking about. So thank you for being here today, Brent Hazelton, Executive Artistic Director of the Milwaukee Chamber Theater. We appreciate you sharing how you provide great arts and entertainment options in our community, and also how you make such an impact with the artists themselves and with community participants. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Jill. It's really a pleasure to share some of the platform.
You're certainly welcome. So whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.